It is Sunday, November 20th. This is the Gemara Shir, normally the Monday night Gemara Shir. It's taking place Sunday, November 20th. We're in the middle of the fourth parak of Masechta Sukkah, Daf Mem Gimel, Amud Aleph. Okay. We're in the middle of the Gemara, on the top of the page, in which the Gemara tells us that on the first day, about six lines from the top, the Gemara said that on the first day, the Isay Rishon, the Isay Min HaTorah Bigvulin Lo Gazu Barabanan. The first day of Yontiv, which has its origin in the Torah, not only in the Beis Hamikdash, but even Bigvulin, under those circumstances, Lo Gazu Barabanan. The Rabbanan did not interfere and allowed us to be mekayim the mitzvah of lulav. Whereas days 2 through 7, which is not black and white in the text, and it doesn't apply in gvulin at all, under those circumstances the Rabbanan did interfere and claimed that on Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos, you are not permitted to take Arba Minim in the Beis HaMikdash, despite the fact that it's a mitzvah midoraisa. The Gemara said, well, today, why don't we take Arba Minim today, on the first day when it comes out on Shabbos? And so the Gemara, because we're not Bekiyah and Bekfiyah D'Yarcha, because we're not 100% sure when Yom Tov is. And we're not going to allow a mitzvah to take place, which might lead to Chilul Shabbos, if there is a possibility that you're not being Mekayim the mitzvah, that you took the lulav the wrong day. Ask the Gemara, well, Eretz Yisrael, they know when the Chodesh is. There's no Sveika the Yoma and Sukkos in Eretz Yisrael. Answer the Gemara, you're right. You do take the Lulav in Eretz Yisrael the first day. Where? In the Beit Knesset. Even after the Beit HaMikdash, you would take the Lulav on the first day in the Beit Knesset. I told you that a block later, the Gemara says no, that they eliminated it not only in Chutz Laretz, but in Eretz Yisrael as well. And we'll discuss the parameters next time about Losis Godudu, why you cannot have one practice for Israel and another practice for Bavel. But today I want to focus on a question which bothered all Rishonim. Tosfos alluded to it and asked, why is there a major distinction between Lulav and Shofar? There are two differences in Lulav and Shofar. One difference is Bizman HaMikdash, where Lulav is more lenient, and one is La'achar Beis HaMikdash, where Shofar is more lenient. What does this mean? Everybody knows the first Mishnah in the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah, where the Mishnah says, Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah Shecholiyos B'Shabbos B'Mikdash HaYutokin Avalo B'Mdina, that you are permitted to blow the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash, but not anywhere else in Eretz Yisrael. So Tosfos asks the question, why is it that when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, you're allowed to take a lulav all over Eretz Yisrael, and in the Beis HaMikdash on the first day of Yontif, because the Isay Min HaTorah, because its mitzvah is black and white in the text, whereas for a shofar, we only allow it in the Mikdash. So in that respect, shofar is more chamur than lulav. Lulav has the leniency that we allow every Tom, Dick, and Harry to take their lulav. Just make sure to bring it to shul or bring it to the Beis HaMikdash before Yontif, or before Shabbos. After the Churban HaMikdash, lulav became more stringent. Nobody takes lulav any longer on the first day, but you continue to blow shofar in Bezdin. As the Mishnah says, La'achar shecharav ha-megdash, hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, shiyu token b'chol makom shiyesh bo bezdin. In a place where there is a bezdin, you are continued to blow on Rosh Hashanah shecholiyos b'Shabbos. And I mentioned to you, the Rif says that he blew shofar in his bezdin on Shabbos. So why is it that after Churban, we've taken a more lax approach to shofar, and after Churban, we've taken a more stringent approach to lulav? That is the question that Tosfos, the Ravid, the Ramban, the Rif, and the Ran all ask. And we're going to see a variety of answers to that question today. But that's the question. Tosfos himself asked the question. We'll just read the question again. Tosfos asks. Everyone asks the exact same question. In the middle of the Tosfos, Inu diyade bekviya diyarchei, about 8 lines into the Tosfos, Tosfos says, V'im toimar maishna mishofar. Why is lulav different than shofar? Disnan beperek dal de Rosh Hashanah, Yom Tov shechol Rosh Hashanah shechol yis b'Shabbos, b'mikdash ha-yotokin, avolo b'mdina. Avolo b'mdina. So, v'yeshloimah, Tosfos is the first stab at the answer. Deshani lulav she'eino ela tiltul ba'alma. Lulav in itself is not much of a violation when you pick it up. You're not doing anything that really violates the Shabbos. So therefore, we're going to allow it. The Gemara said we should disallow it because of Gzeira de Rabba. We're afraid that you're going to carry. It has nothing to do with the fact that taking the lulav is the problem. The problem is that you might carry. So Tosfos doesn't really answer that question. Aval betkiya shofar ikam maisa chachma. By shofar, and here he's talking about it practically, Tosfos assesses that every Amoretz can figure out how to take a lulav. Why? Just pick it up. That's it. Pick it up. There aren't going to be too many questions that you have to ask. But when it comes to tkiya shofar, that is already a skill. And if you're not going to know how to blow shofar yourself, you will be tempted to carry the shofar to learn simply how to blow the shofar. Therefore, the Chachamim felt more need to be stringent with shofar and to be lenient with lulav. So answers Tosfos. However, Tosfos says the flip side. Umiyu kasha. Dila achar churban hekilu b'shofar tvei mebelulav. Why is it that after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, why are we more lenient with shofar? We allow shofar to be blown on Shabbos and every Beis Din. Lulav we don't allow any place after the Churban HaMikdash. Tisnan, Mishachara Beis HaMikdash, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai Shutokin B'chol Makom Sheyesh Bo Beis Din. The lulav lo ishtere klal, lulav is not permitted at all, not the way our Gemara says that you're allowed to take it in the Beit Knesset. Kizarmina Kaman, the Gemara says later, conclusion is, after the Churban HaMikdash, no lulav on Shabbos whatsoever. So why are we more lenient with shofar than we are with lulav? Answers Tosfos. The shofar shehu la'alot zichronim sheyisrael avim shebeshamayim l'rotzel levato legamrei. Shofar, which is so important in advancing the cause of Bnei Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they felt uncomfortable eliminating it completely. V'kevon de'bechad bezdin tiknu b'chol makom sheyesh bo bezdin. Since the original takana was that you can blow in Beis Din, so they extended it after the Churban HaMikdash that you can continue to blow in Beis Din. Afal pishe bizman abayis lohoya ela b'mikdash dafka. Even though when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, they only allowed you to blow in the Beis HaMikdash, not in Beis Din. So Tosfos is a little uncomfortable. Where did that transition suddenly come? You're allowed to blow in the Mikdash, now suddenly you can blow b'chol makom sheyesh bo Beis Din. How did that suddenly happen? If the concern was that shofar is it used as the medium to advance our cause unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why didn't they consider that b'zman HaMikdash? That every Jew in Tel Aviv, every Jew in Be'er Sheva, every Jew in Bnei Brak should be able to hear shofar in Rosh Hashanah. They weren't concerned about it. The only place where they allowed you to blow is in the Beis HaMikdash. And don't forget, on Rosh Hashanah, there's no Chiyuv Aliyah L'Regel. So the majority of Am Yisrael are not going to be in the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah. So Tosfos himself is a little uncomfortable with his own answer. I just said that shofar is so significant, and therefore, because it's significant, they gave that opportunity after Churban HaMikdash. Well, if it was so significant, why didn't they give some opportunity for Jews in Tel Aviv and Bnei Brak to hear the shofar on Shabbos?
Yeah. It's not about them hearing it, it's about it being done. It's not a function of whether who has to hear it. It's about that it has to be done in one place.
Good. So why didn't they allow it to be done someplace in the shul?
They didn't need it because it was being done in the Beis HaMikdash. It was done in the great synagogue. It was done there for all of Am Yisrael. That was the place. It was for all of Am Yisrael, not just for individuals. It was for the
Tzibur. So once the shofar is being blown in one place.
So once you have it in one place, in the central, in the core place where it represents all of Am Yisrael, that's where it's done. That goes away. So they want to at least place it where it could be done for all the miniature.
Okay. Possibly. That's what Tosis answers.
I mean, he gives a reason why. He tells why.
Why?
He says at the end because.
No, that's a second. Second consideration.
That goes to that point. I think he's trying to explain that why it was still strict at that time.
No. Right. There's another consideration.
Right.
Namely, that there is a difference between Rosh Hashanah and Lulav based on whether you will know when Rosh Hashanah was.
Yeah.
The rule is, the second answer of Tosis is, I will only allow you to do something on Shabbos if I am guaranteed that you will mekayim the mitzvah. So by the time the 15th day of Tishrei comes about, does everybody in Eretz Yisrael know when the 15th of Tishrei is? Yes. Every single Jew knows. Does every Jew in Eretz Yisrael know when the first day of Tishrei is? No. No Jew in Eretz Yisrael knows. Why? Because there's no way to popularize the fact that the Edom came to Beis Din and declared today as Rosh Chodesh, thereby creating it into Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, Tosis's second answer, I understand. Namely, that on Rosh Hashanah, I want to control it. Where do I want to allow it? Only in a community where they know for a fact that today is Rosh Hashanah. The only place where they knew it today was Rosh Hashanah, Bizman HaMikdash, is in the Beis HaMikdash. Because that's where the Sanhedrin sat. And then it was impossible to inform the rest of Eretz Yisrael when Rosh Hashanah was. Because either the method of popularizing and informing was done by the fire system, that after witnesses came, the next night, they would light fires all across the mountains, which would be visible even into Bavel, but that was the second night of the month. So when you saw a fire, that was an indication today was Rosh Chodesh. So for an ordinary Rosh Chodesh, when you don't really have to do much in Chutz La'aretz, you know, just have to start counting the month, you can be informed the day after Rosh Chodesh that today was already Rosh Chodesh. No difficulty, no problem. But with Rosh Hashanah, you have to know on that very moment. So the information by the fire system is not going to be sufficient to let people in Tel Aviv, Bnei Brak, and Haifa and Be'er Sheva know. That's why in Eretz Yisrael, they observe 2 days Yontif every single year on Rosh Hashanah. Even if after they got rid of the fire system, due to the fact that the Tztukim were lighting the fires on the wrong night, they went to the Pony Express system. The Pony Express system would be letting people know messengers would come. But no messenger was able to get there on time because you're not allowed to even begin traveling until after Yontif. It's not Doicha Shabbos. So when would the messengers be able to leave? Motsa'e Rosh Hashanah, when the witnesses came, they observed Rosh Hashanah in Yerushalayim. Then the witnesses would be able to travel outside of Yerushalayim to inform Tel Aviv. That doesn't do any good. Therefore, on the day in which they suspected when Rosh Hashanah was, when it came out on Shabbos, they did not allow them to blow on Shabbos. Because they were afraid that if I were to carry, and not even be Mekayim the Mitzvah, because it wound up to be the 30th day of the month of Elul, then what have I done? I've caused the situation of Chilul Shabbos without even run the possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah. Whereas by Lulav, by the time the 15th day of the month arrived, every Tom, Dick, and person happened to what? To know that there is a 15th of month, when Rosh Chodesh was. So by the time the first day of Sukkot came out on Shabbos, every Jew knew today, Bivadai, today was Sukkot. Consequently, you can be a little more lenient and allow everybody to be mekayim the mitzvah of Lulav by bringing the Lulav to the Beit Knesset on Shabbos. So answers Tosis. Now we're going to see several other answers. Please.
The names are mutually exclusive, or
no? They're not. They might augment one another. They might, but it doesn't really, because.
Why wouldn't it? This second part explains why during the time of the Beis Hamikdash when more strict with shofar.
No, the first one doesn't. No, then why is it in Eretz Yisrael every time after the Churban did they not allow lulav?
Because after the Churban we had
Why don't you allow lulav after the Churban? According to the second answer, you know definitively today is what? You know definitively.
But you allow it. You allow it everywhere.
So you should allow lulav. You should allow shofar everywhere because you know definitively today is Rosh Hashanah, and therefore if you're.
But the second answer doesn't really address Bizman Azeh. It does not. Why is there a distinction? Today everybody knows. You open up your calendar, you know what Rosh Hashanah is. So if the concern is the potential violation on a day when you're not going to be the kind of mitzvah, the weakness with the second answer of Tosfos is that whenever you know, Bizman Azeh, everybody knows, we should be able to blow and take lulav on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, on the first day of Sukkot, comes out on Shabbos. Let's see a couple of other answers. The most chidush answer, the most spectacular answer, is the Ravid Shita. Please take the sheet, I bracketed it for you, on the bottom of the page, sorry, it's small print, Hasagas HaRavid. The Ravid is reacting to the Baal HaMor. We'll do the Baal HaMor in a second. He comes up with a very strange shita. The Ravid doesn't like it. Actually, we'll do the Baal HaMor first because I want you to see the reaction of the Ravid also. So, look at the Baal HaMor right above. I bracketed it for you. V'ika man dekashale. There are many who ask this question. It's the same question. Ihachi shofar namin. Shofar is certainly the oraisa in all of Israel. Why did the rabbi say that we should not blow shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah? Kedisnan, but mikdash yotokin, avolo b'mdina. The afilu achar takana, even after the takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, after the churban hamikdash, lo hayadocha ella b'makom sheyesh bo bezdin. Says the Baal HaMor. Tenach Megillah. I can understand when Purim comes out on Shabbos. The Bechol Makom Derabbanan. The whole mitzvah of Megillah is only obviously the Derabbanan. Mishum Hachi Gazruba. Therefore, the rabbis wanted to protect potential Chilul Shabbos against what possibility? Fulfilling a mitzvah of Derabbanan. There, the balance is not worth it. I would rather forego a mitzvah mit derabanan than run the risk of being mechal Shabbos. Avos elo shofar, my time a gazruba. Why is it that what that they legislated the halo mitzvaso min haTorah mik bechal makom? The mitzvah is throughout the world to blow shofar. So why should shofar be any different than lulav? V'yesh loyma. Shemitzvas shofar the ureves hi biyoma midrabanan umido oraisa. Because the mitzvah of shofar, based on the way we understand it, it's a little the oraisa and a little the rabbana. A little the oraisa and a little the rabbana. If I were to ask you to define for me why is mitzvah of shofar partially the oraisa and partially the rabbana, what would you tell him? What would you tell him?
We don't know which tekiyos to blow.
Yeah. But?
We don't know which sounds.
Okay, say it a little better. A little sharper.
The number of kolos.
Good. The number of kolos. The Baal HaMor knows the practice that we blow 100 sounds. Even though it's very hard to trace, the Rambam never heard of it, the Gemara never said it, Tosfos quotes it, the Baal HaMor apparently heard of it. So, the overwhelming majority of those notes that we blow are not required at all, Midor Raisa. How many notes are required mid the oraisa?
Ten.
Nine notes mid the oraisa.
Nine, ten.
Three times it says the word true on the Torah. Yom Teruah Yalachem, Zichron Teruah, and V'ha'avarta Shofar Teruah B'chol Artzachem, when it's written by Yovel.
Right.
There is a rule. There is no such thing as a trua without a tkiya preceding it and a tkiya following. So you have a tkiya, trua, tkiya, three times three, according to AP calculus, is nine. Nine. That's why the Mishnah says, shalosh al shalosh shalosh. Nine sounds. There is a little debate as to what the note of the trua is. So therefore, is it just a shvarim? Is it just a trua? Is it a combination of trua, trua? So therefore, from the nine notes becomes the 30 notes. Three times 10 in each unit, because you have to load tkiya shvarim trua, tkiya shvarim tkiya, tkiya trua tkiya, that's a unit of 10. So every time there was 3, there is now 10. 3 times 10 is 30. But beyond that, it's certainly only with the rabbah. The Balamar is going to go one step further. There is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that tells us on the Lamed Dalet Amud from Rosh Hashanah that even amongst the three which the Torah writes, the three, only two of the three can be the Oraisa in terms of numbers. Only two of the three sets can be the Oraisa. Right. Two of the three sets.
The two from Rosh Hashanah.
That would be the logical thing. The two from Rosh Hashanah. But the Gemara argues a different reason. How do you arrive at numbers when you see a mitzvah repeated? What rule, what's the Gemara asking when it says, you know what? If it says this once, twice, three times, I'm going to say it has to be three times, blow three truas. What's the Gemara operating with? The fact that what? That the word is written three times. What if the same thing three times? What if Zichron Trua and Yom Trua and Vahavarta Shofar Trua B'chol Artzichem? Even though Vahavarta Shofar is not written by Rosh Hashanah. But the Gemara operates with the following notion. The first time that a Pasuk is mentioned, it's not available for Drash. It's not available to Darshan numbers. The first time you need the Pasuk to tell you what? That there's a mitzvah to do it. Forget about the details. The first time it's not an extra. Therefore, the Balamor will cite the Gemara and say, of the three times that it's mentioned, only two are the Oraisa in terms of numbers. So with the Oraisa, you only have to blow two sets of Tkiya, Trua Tkiya. The third one is only with the Rabbana. Because the third one can't be linked to a Pasuk in the Torah. Because the pasuk in the Torah, the third time, is needed not to teach you a detail of how many sounds, but that there is a mitzvah in general. Therefore, says the Balamor, forget about sounds numbers 31 to 100, which are certainly midrabbanan. Even in the core mitzvah of shalosh al shalosh shalosh, tkiya trua tkiya, three times, once for Malchios, once for Zichronos, and once for Shofros, two of the three might be the Oraisa. One of them is only the Rabban, at best. That's the Gemara which he quotes. So therefore, his theory is, since the core mitzvah, the way every member of Klal Yisrael, no matter, even if there was no suffix, what the note of Trua is, forget about now that you have to blow a possibility of shvarims and truas and shvara and trua. Forget about that. Even if we knew definitively what the note of trua represented, of the nine sounds, only six are going to be the oraisa. He actually quotes a second opinion, the Gemara, maybe only are three the oraisa, and six are only the Rabbana. I don't want to go into that now because in the interest of time. But his point is, since the core mitzvah is not in its totality a mitzvah midoraisa, therefore we're not going to be makel on Shabbos. So we will only be lenient when the mitzvah in its entirety is a mitzvah deoraisa. So when you pick up the lulav, you are now mekayim the mitzvah of ulekachtam lechem. When you blow shalosh al shalosh shalosh, three tkiyos for malchios, three sounds for zechronos, three sounds for shofros, you're not really being mekayim a mitzvah midoraisa each time. Since part of the core mitzvah is a mitzvah midrabanan, we are not going to run the risk be a potential chilul Shabbos for the pleasure and possibility of being mekayim only a mitzvah midrabanan. So says the Balamor. Yeah.
Well, Is it possible to be mekayim only the mitzvah derabanan of shofar?
What do you mean?
The concern here is ultimately is hotza'ah.
Correct.
Attention. So at the very least, you have to be, if you only blow two notes or three notes, you at least be mekayim
the daraisa. Correct.
Or if you
do
the first third.
Good. So an argument that we use. So let's legislate that our Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos. Let's only blow tkiyah through tkiyah. Forget about all the other. Maybe.
Or once you've done the daraisa portion, you've already taken care of the hotza'ah.
Correct. Once you're there already, and you're careful, exactly. So now take a look at the Ravid. And the Ravid reacts to the Baal HaMor on the bottom of the page. And he writes, V'dgazru ba delo titche Shabbos b'shar mekomo mishum trua derabanan de'isba. Because of the rabbinic component of the mitzvah of Shofar. Omar Avraham, zeh hatam ein lo tam. The reason provided by the Baal HaMor, Schmecknish, has no taste whatsoever. Typical style of the I forgot yesterday during the Gemara Shir when I read you the Rambam of the Rambam's understanding of Korach. Someone said I should have. The Ravid writes Kol Zeh Hevel, bunch of hot air. That's the Ravid's comment. He says Ta'ah the Kol Zeh Hevel. The whole thing is bunch of hot air. That's the Ravid's words. So next time I'll take care of what the Ravid's want. What's the argument? So Rav says, "Ein lo tam v'lo reyach." This is no tam, no smell, no taste, no nothing. Umishum derabanan dachinu l'da'oraisa. Because there is a possibility that part of the mitzvah is only the derabanan. What are we going to do? Push aside the mitzvah d'oraisa? Forget about the mitzvah d'oraisa because of the concern that part of it is only the derabanan? The old halav divrei hakolu, the ha'ikotana the yalef lekulu minatora kideisa hasam. The Baal HaMor is quoting one opinion. Everyone else believes that mida oraisa. How many notes do you have to blow?
Three
sets. Tkiyah shvar, tkiyah through, tkiyah through. Everybody says it's oraisa. So how you learn it out? That's a different question. But the bottom line, core mitzvah midoraisa, is against that Gemara. So how are you defending our Gemara based on a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah which cites one opinion that's only midorabanan? Ela hatam. Listen to this chiddush of the writer. Mipnei she'ein l'shofar ikar mifurash bigvulin. There is no pasuk in the Chumash that says that you're supposed to blow shofar any place in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't say it. Where is the pasuk of Yom Kruah Yelechem found? Parshas Pinchas. What an oddity, says the Ravid. An oddity. We know that the mitzvos, the Yom Tov of the cycle of Yom Tov are found in three locations in the Chumash. Parshas Emor, where you describe the Kedushas Hayoyim, the Issa Malacha, and unique mitzvos that apply on that day. So for Yom Kippur, it tells you, Lo tasa kol malacha, v'ini senes nafsho seichem. For Sukkot, it says, Basukkot teishu shivas yamin, and ulekachdom lachem v'yom rishon, and kol malacha savoyda lo sasa. What does it say in Rosh Hashanah? In Parshas Emor? Only zichron truah. It doesn't say Yom Kruah Yelechem. The second time that all of the Yom Tovim are mentioned is Parshas Pinchas. The function of the Parshas Pinchas is to describe the Korban Musaf. And lo and behold, the mitzvah of shofar, Yom Tovim Yelechem, is found in Parshas Pinchas, not in Emor. So what conclusion does the Ravid reach? The mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar, Midah Oraisa, is only in the Beis HaMikdash. Only in the Beis HaMikdash. Every place else, it's learned out from one of the Yud Gimel, whatever it is. But it's not Mefurash Bikra.
The Baal HaMor's first line points to Christ says Minatara Bikvulin.
Of course, everybody says that. Would you ever say that Tkiyah Shofar is not Mitzvah Midoraisa in Tina? No one ever said that. That's the Chiddush of the Ravid. The Ravid says, the Gemara never says, Shofar Isay min HaTorah Bigvulin, because it's not true. That's why the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah never entertained the possibility that we should blow shofar in every Beit Knesset on Rosh Hashanah Shekholim Eskashamas. Why? Because Midda Oraisa in Torah Shebiksav, there is no mitzvah to blow shofar in any place out of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, since it was, I'm not saying you don't blow shofar in every shul on Rosh Hashanah, but it's not Isay min HaTorah. Therefore, the Chachamim, looking to protect Chil Shabbos, felt that there was a greater need to protect the mitzvah of Shabbos as opposed to promoting an opportunity to perform a mitzvah which does not have its origin in the Torah text. In the Torah text. Only in the Beis HaMikdash. How does he know that? Because Yom Teruah Yilachem is written in Parshas Pinchas. Yeah.
Is the Balmar's comment referring all the time or only when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos? And for that I'm talking about the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi makes his contrast of Zichron Shua versus Shua. It's his Minat Torah. There is no mitzvah to blow it.
Correct. That, according to the Yerushalmi, you don't need Gzeirah D'Rabbah.
I got that. Is that what the Baal HaMoor is really bringing in?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
That's not
the He's talking about our concern. But you're not going to institute a Gzeirah D'Rabbah for a situation where you're going to have a mixture of a Doraisa and a D'Rabbanah.
That's the Baal HaMoor. I'm talking about the Ravid.
He doesn't need Gzeirah D'Rabbah. Yeah, he doesn't exempt the rabbi. 100%. Why is it that you don't blow shofar when it comes to any place else in Eretz Yisrael? Because the mitzvah is not a mitzvah d'oraisa. Not only on Shabbos, even on Tuesday. That's what he's saying. The mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah on a Tuesday is not d'oraisa in Tel Aviv. Because it's listed only in base in. Let's read it in the Sefer. Look at it. Ela hatam, line 3, levi she'ein l'shofar mefurash bigvulin. Shelo amra Torah, what did the Torah say in Parshas Emor? Shabbason zichron trua. Ela b'makom v'hikravtem ishe l'ashem. Yom trui yelachem is only where it's where you bring the Korban Musaf. Where do you bring the Korban Musaf? Based on Mikdash. Therefore, the Ravid believes that's why there is no Tkiyah Shofar outside on Shabbos. What's the major difficulty with the Ravid?
Both answers don't answer after the discussion.
Correct! Why after the Korban HaMikdash would you blow the Shofar in a Beis Din if the halacha was what? Rabbi. Only in the Mikdash. If the halacha is in Mikdash, why suddenly would you blow outside of the Mikdash in a Beis Din after the Churban HaMikdash? Why would you do that according to the Ravid?
Zeichel HaMikdash.
What?
Zeichel
HaMikdash. You're going to run Chil Shabbos, potential for Zeichel HaMikdash?
Only in Beis Din.
Okay, perhaps.
It's not Masr L'Kol.
Perhaps.
The Baal HaMoor also. What's his answer talking about after Churban? How does his answer
that what?
To parliament is the Rabbanan, so therefore...
That's correct, so therefore we're standing. We're only going to limit shofar to a place where there's no...
What lulav? What does he say for lulav? What would he say for lulav after Korban Abayis?
We got rid of it completely.
Why?
That's a good question. Why get lulav completely and shofar still maintaining the Beis HaMikdash in a Beis HaMikdash? He doesn't answer that. You're right. He does not answer that. That's the weakness with him. That's correct. So that's a second answer, but there's a very big chidush of the Ravid that bisman that the halacha of Kir Shofar is limited only to Mikdash. The Rav once suggested in trying to answer this last Ravid and understand its connection to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana you can blow kol makom sheyesh bo bez. So the Rav said as follows. We know that the Beis HaMikdash has several functions. We know that it says, the Beis HaMikdash has several functions. One function of the Beis HaMikdash is that it's the place where you bring korbanos. That is true. Where you bring korbanos. But there is another function of the Mikdash. It seats the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Seats the Sanhedrin HaGadol. The Beis Din sat in what's called the Lishkas HaGazis. One of the chambers on the Har HaBayit in the Beis HaMikdash was saved for the Sanhedrin. In fact, if you go to the Kotel today, as you're looking straight at the Kotel, right to the left is called the Idra. The Idra. It's right on the side of where Yeshivat HaKotel is. So that used to be the yeshiva of Rav Doron, who was the Rav Ashi of Tzahal. So he had a dream that he was going to reinstitute the Sanhedrin. And he built the chambers of the Sanhedrin right up there, the way it would look on the Har HaBayis. Three rows of 23 sitting in a semicircle, because that's the way they sat, three rows of 23, and then two seats in the front facing the 23, one for the Nasi, one for the Abbez. One of those two seats was going to be for him, which he thought he was going to be the Abbez or the Nasi, and when he reinstitutes the Sanhedrin. Obviously nobody listened to him, and now it's like part of a museum. You can go look and see what the Sanhedrin looked like and what it hopefully will look like. But he built it right there because it's supposed to be on the Har HaBayit. So part of the Beis HaMikdash is that it's the home of Torah Sheba'al Peh, the development of Torah Sheba'al Peh. So the Rav once suggested that the reason why you blow in the Mikdash, Yosh Hashanah Shecholias B'Shabbos, is not because it happens to be the location of where you makriv korbanos. Because if that's the case, the transition of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai makes no sense whatsoever. What's that got to do? But if you look at the Beis HaMikdash as the seat of Torah Sheba'al Peh, as the house where the Sanhedrin deliberates, now you understand Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is simply extending the halacha. That as opposed to the seat of Torah Sheba'al Peh being on the Har HaBayis, the seat of Torah Sheba'al Peh is in Bezd, and that's why Rabbi Lezer says, "Lo amru b'chol makom sheyesh bo Bezdin, el Sanhedrin b'Yavne b'Levan." Because in Yavne, the Sanhedrin HaGadol switched after they were driven out of Yerushalayim. That's when the Sanhedrin of 71 went to Yavne, because that is now the seat of Torah Sheba'al Peh. So it could be that if you look at it from that perspective, then when the Ravid is telling us there's a halacha in Mikdash, it doesn't have to be Mikdash because you have makrif korbanos there, but Mikdash as a different aspect of the Beis HaMikdash. That it houses the Sanhedrin, and therefore the transition la'achar ha'churban is not as it's not as terrible. Not as terrible. Yeah. Now take a look at the Ran. Turn the page. Final answer offered by the Ran. And he somehow agrees with Tosis, but he adds one or two other points. I bracket it on the top. V'im toinu ha'shofer de'isa b'gvulun de'oraisa v'filu lo v'dachi shavus v'idus manshu v'isa v'shakaya k'idusnan perak pas v'rosh Hashan yantum shen rosh Hashan v'chalis v'shavus v'mikdash ha'i tekin ablo b'vdina. Same question. Yesh loyla. The Hainu time, Lefi Shibarov Hashanim, Lo Hayyotim Bishachris, Shahayashast Kiyashofar Bikivua Shachodesh Zeh, Shahu Chag Shahachodesh Miskasebo. The Rov Hashanim, Lo Hayu Aidin Boin Shachris. When do you normally blow shofar, says the Ran? You blow it in the morning. Now, when did the Aidim come to Beis Din and let us know that today was Rosh Hashanah? They did not always come in the morning. And in fact, he writes in line 3, V'rov Hashanim lo hayu ha'edim ba'in b'shachris. How do I know? D'mishum hachi tamid shel shachar shel shachris ha'yakarev kehilchasa. The korban tamid shel shachar was brought in its accordance with its regular halachot. What do you mean, regular halachot? What?
Not Rosh
Chodesh. Okay. No, but the Korban Tamid. Korban Tamid Shel Shachar, they would bring Kehilchato.
Lechol.
on Rosh Hashanah for Shachar, because the Edom didn't come yet. So I ask you, what do you mean?
On Shabbos also, I don't
know. Every day of the year, the Korban Tumah's the exact same thing. Right. What difference would it make when the Edom come as to how it's going to impact the Korban Tumah? The answer is the Shir Shalyom, exactly. Every Korban Tumah, the Levium, Hashir Shalyom, HaLevium, the Beis HaMikdash. Now, if the Shir Shalyom of Rosh Hashanah, don't forget in the Beis HaMikdash, they did not do it what we do. We always say the Shir Shalyom of Sunday through Shabbos, no matter if it's Yontif, makes no difference. If there is a special time, we say two. On Rosh Chodesh, we say the regular Shir Shalyom and Baruch Nafshi. If you look in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, and the Gaon quotes it in his Siddur, right. There's a Shir Shalyom for every day of Yontif.
Every
Yontif is its own Shir Shalyom. In the Beis HaMikdash, they never sang two Shirei Shalyom. On Rosh Chodesh, they only sang Barchi Nafshi. Rosh Hashanah, the Shir of Yom Rosh Hashanah, happens to be the Yom of Yom Chamishi. Happens to be. Because what does it say? Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'keseh l'yom chagenu v'charg shehachodesh miskasebo. You don't really notice the Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. The Chodesh is this God. So that would be the Shir Shal Yom. So let's assume the 29th day of the month of Elul was on a Monday. On Tuesday morning, they're anticipating the Edom show up. Okay? The Kahanim bring the Korban Tumah Shel Shachar. What song are they going to sing for the Korban Tumah Shel Shachar that Tuesday? Even though it might turn into Rosh Hashanah. In the morning, they're singing Mizmor La'asaf Elohim Nitzav Ba'adas Ev. Why? Because the majority of the time, the Edom didn't show up in the morning. And they didn't know if they were coming. So therefore, morning was treated like a regular morning. If the Edom eventually showed up for the Korban Tumah, Shalvein Har Bayim, they would no longer sing Mizmar Shir Li Asaf the Yom Shlishi. Now they'll sing Elam Natseach Alagidus to show you that today is Rosh Hashanah. So that's what he means, that Mishum Haki Tamid Shel Shachris Hayakarev Kihil Chasal Kiloma Shafilu Boho Eden Bishachris Hayu Omrim Shir Shel Chol Kidarkan Berov Hashanim. You would say the regular Shir Shel Yom like every other time. Ulafikach Omru, and therefore the rabbis have said Shebimdina Lo Yotokin. She'im natir lohem liskoa kishibo Edom b'shachris, because if we're going to allow them to blow when the Edom did arrive early in the morning, l'shana haba'a, gam ken yisku. Next year, what's going to happen? The Edom probably came. They're going to blow shofar. But akol pishilo bo Edom, adayin yomru, esh takad, last year, milo takanu, have we not blown? Achshav nami niska, kishem she'anunogim oso kodesh. Just as we're observing today is Yom Tov in anticipation of the Edom coming, so therefore we're going to blow shofar. Ulefikach lo ratzo lahatir ela b'mikdash, b'makom zrizim. In the Beis HaMikdash, they make announcements. Do not bring a shofar to learn. Do not bring a shofar. They're very careful. Since they already are careful, we can trust that there will be no Chilul Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, but no place else. In fact, some Rishonim point out, that's the fundamental difference between Lulav and Shofar. By Lulav, at least Bizman HaZeh, Lulav, the only way to be Mekayim the Mitzvah by Lulav is to take it yourself. By Tekiyas Shofar, does everybody have to blow Shofar in order to be Yotzei the Mitzvah? No, get one Baal Tekiyah, can be discharged 50,000 people. So therefore, they were able to rely on the fact that it was done in Beis Din. People would come to Beis Din, and as a result, again, you would not have to worry about Chilul Shabbos. The Kosov HaRamban, Sheloze Kivein Harav Alfasi, Shekosov Perakama de Gittin, Garcinon, Bimasecha Sukkah, Neima Ein Lulav Docha Shabbos, Beyom Tov HaRishon. V'halo mitzvaso min haTorah afilu b'gvulin. V'ukimna, and we answered, mishum d'lo yodinan b'kivua d'yarcha. U'mispeka lo d'chinan Shabbos. V'haynu time of the shofar, v'haynu time of the Megillah. And therefore, that's the same reason for shofar, even on the first day, even in Eretz Yisrael. Because on the first day in Eretz Yisrael, there is nobody who knows when the Edom will Mekadosh the Chodesh. Therefore, we have to limit the possibility of Chilul Shabbos by not allowing Tkiyas Shofar on any day which comes out on Shabbos, other than in the Beis HaMikdash. So there are a variety of answers that we've seen to answer this question. One is that Shofar has a leniency that the Jew can't go without Tkiyas Shofar. Can't. Therefore, to some extent, I have to make an accommodation after the Churban HaMikdash and allow you to blow in Beis Din. I can't eliminate it completely. Lulav, a Jew can survive without lulav. On the other hand, there are more accommodations when lulav is around. When they're in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because they knew definitively when the mitzvah of lulav was. Because by the time the 15th came, everybody knew when Rosh Chodesh Tishrei was. So if you know for a fact that you are going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, we will choose to do so despite the fact that there is a possibility of Chilul Shabbos. But with Tkiyas Shofar, where there is always a possibility that today will not yet be Rosh Hashanah, under those circumstances, you will now have a possibility that you were Mechal Shabbos and were not yet Mekayim the Mitzvah. Just want to add one little thing to explain how did the Yoyma Arichta come about that we observe on Rosh Hashanah. How did that come about? Listen very carefully. It's probably one of the least understood ideas. Think about Bizman HaMikdash. When there is a Beis Din sitting in there. All of Eretz Yisrael, there's no doubt, observe 2 days Yontov. 2 full days Yontov. Like every one of us in Chutz Laretz, they had no idea when Rosh Hashanah was. In Yerushalayim, there were 2 possibilities. Yerushalayim observed 1 day Yontov, if the Edom actually wound up coming. What happens if the Edom didn't show up? All stores had to be closed the night before. No one could do Melacha, because if the Edom did show up, when would it be? When they accepted it retroactively to last night was Rosh Hashanah. So you couldn't do Melacha. So an entire day you would be doing no Melacha in anticipation that the Edom would show up. The Edom didn't show up. So when do you know for a fact is Rosh Hashanah? Tomorrow. So sometimes Rosh Hashanah was observed 2 days in Yerushalayim HaKodesh if the Edom didn't come. Why didn't they come? Because it was cloudy the night before. They didn't see the new moon. Very simple. No witnesses came because they didn't see the new moon. So Rosh Chodesh had to be declared the next day. The Gemara in Beitza tells us a story. That one time, the Edom came very late. Shkia was, let's say, 6 o'clock. Our imaginary Shkia always in Halakha, 6 o'clock. The Edom came at 5 to 6. When the Kohen was doing the Karban Tamid Shel Bein HaArbayim, they always brought the Karban Tamid. The last time they brought it was by Plag HaMincha. That's 4:45. Edom aren't here, it's probably not going to be Rosh Hashanah. So they brought the Karban Tamid, and what song did they sing for the Karban? It was a Tuesday. They sang the regular Tuesday. Then the Edom showed up on 5 to 6. Oh my God, we sang the wrong song. So that's what the Gemara says. So what did Rabbi Yoyim, so they made a takana that Edom are never going to be accepted after Plag HaMincha. Not accepting them any longer. They're not accepting the Edom. That's it. So now at 4:45, here is the case. Let's assume it's a Sunday when there are football games on. A big game on at 4 o'clock. From a 4 till a 4:45, you're not watching. Because in case it will turn out to be Rosh Hashanah, I'm a good Jew. But at 4:45, I know for a fact today is not going to be Rosh Hashanah. For a fact! It's not going to be Rosh Hashanah. So there is a possibility that I can turn on my television and watch the game till 6 o'clock, till sundown. The Chachamim said no. That we are going to legislate that the rest of the day has to be treated as a Yom Tov. That since the majority of the day was treated as a Yom Tov in anticipation of the arrival of the arrival of the Eidim, I want you to finish it. And they came up with the idea, Oso Hayoyim Kodesh, Olamacha Kodesh. Today is going to be Yom Tov, even though you know for a fact it can't be the first day of Tishrei, but tomorrow is going to be Yom Tov. So now people ask them, when I don't do malacha until 4:45, it's because I am anticipating that it might turn out to be the first day of Tishrei. And on the first day of Tishrei, you're not allowed to do malacha in Atayr. But now it's 4:45, it can't be the first day of Tishrei. How are you telling me not to do malacha on the 30th day of Elul? Why can't I do malacha on the 30th day of Elul? I want to watch the Giant game, 30th day of Elul. So what did the Chachamim say? It's not the 30th day of Elul. It's the Yom HaRichta. We're going to say that even though technically the first day of Tishrei is tomorrow, we're going to make it like one long Yom HaRichta. That's where the Yom HaRichta came in. It never existed in Tel Aviv, never existed in Beersheba, only existed in Yerushalayim when witnesses came after 4:45. That's the only time. After the Churban HaMikdash, Chazal wanted all of Klal Yisrael to remember that phenomenon. That possibility that existed in Yerushalayim only during certain years. And they told us that when all of Klal Yisrael observes 2 days Yom Tov, why is it 2 days Yom Tov? Because it was 2 days Yom Tov, real 2 days Yom Tov. I want you to remember and inject the Yom HaArichta into our 2 days of Yom Tov. I want you to remember it. Even though in Teaneck, New Jersey, and in Tel Aviv, there was never a possibility of observing a Yom HaArichta. They observe 2 days Yom Tov, Kedasu Kedin. And there are many leniencies that take place when something is observed as 2 days, as opposed to Yom HaArichta.
One day.
I'll give you one just to show you the halachic difference. On the first day of Yom Tov, when there is a two-day Yom Tov, everybody should know the halach that if you forget to make an Erev Tavshilin on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to make an Erev Tavshilin on the first day of Yom Tov. And you play the Mamanoshach game. You state the following. If today is the real day of Yom Tov, because don't forget, Yom Tov is only one day, then tomorrow, Friday,
I don't need
an Erev Tavshil, because it's a weekday. You don't need, you're allowed to cook on Friday for Shabbos. And if the second day of Yom Tov is the real day of Yom Tov, today is Erev Yom Tov. We're allowed to make an Erev Tavshil on an Erev Yom Tov. So that's the way it's recorded in Shulchan Aruch. That if you have any 2 days of Yom Tov, so this year, first day of Sukkot, Shemini Atzeres was Thursday and Friday. If you forgot to make it first day of Sukkot, Erev Sukkot rather, you can make it on Thursday, Erev Yom, on Yom Tov. If you forgot to make it on Hoshana Rabbah, you can make it on Shemini Atzeres with a bracha, no problem. But for Rosh Hashanah, you can't do so. Why? Because if it's Yom HaArichta, you can't play the 2 days over. If today is the real day, tomorrow's, what do you mean? It's all one 48-hour day. You can't do so. So the Chachamim wanted us to somehow remember that fact that in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, during some years, there was a Yom HaArichta, therefore we remember it. That's why, with this I conclude, that's why, lichatchila, you don't make a Shechiyanu at Kiddush the second night of Rosh Hashanah. Lichatchila. Because if it's one 48-hour day, why do you have to say Shechiyanu? It's the same day Yom Tov, right? The only time you say Shechiyanu both nights is if the first night was retroactively a weekday. But today is not going to be it. But let's say something. So therefore, what did we tell everybody to do just to make you buy new fruit? What's the bottom line if you don't have a new fruit? Do you make Shechiyanu?
No.
Of course you make a Shechiyanu. Why? Because in reality, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are really 2 days of Sfeika Diyoma, because that's the way it always was observed. It's only because we're trying to recreate this historical time period of Yom HaRichta, but for that I'm not going to eradicate completely the bottom line. The bottom line is that Rosh Hashanah should be observed as 2 days of Safek, just as they were 2 days of Safek throughout every year in Jewish history. So lichatchila, we try to tell people to cover themselves, but b'di'eved, you make a shechayanu, because the idea of Yom HaArichta is not part of the core definition of Rosh Hashanah. It's just something that Chachamim imposed upon us to commemorate a practice that existed within the framework of the Mikdash. Okay, we'll stop here, and we'll continue next week. Hopefully no more interruptions to Monday night.